I noted last week that our pairs of five pairs of presentations have tended to be thematic, and I think that's true again today. There'll be some resonance between what Terry shared and I think what I know of what Daniel will be sharing with us. Daniel Miller was born and raised in Corning, New York. He came to Harrisonburg and EMU in 2006 as a liberal arts major. Following college, Daniel served in Mennonite Voluntary Service for a year in Baltimore before beginning seminary studies in 2011. He has a Bachelor of Arts degree in liberal arts from Eastern Mennonite University in 2010. Daniel has worked for many years on camp staff at Penn York Camp and Highland Retreat. He was a pastoral intern through the Ministry Inquiry Program at West Union Mennonite Church, Parnell, Iowa, in 2009, and he was a youth director at North Baltimore Church in 2010 and 11. He now works as a teller at Parkview Federal Credit Union right here in Harrisonburg. Daniel is married to Meg Smeltzer, who is here, along with a nice contingent of family support as well. Daniel enjoys music and games of all types, including board, card, and sports. Daniel's capstone is entitled "The Dangers of Shepherding, Power, the Church, and Leader Sheep." Daniel, share with us.
Thank you for that introduction, Lonnie. And again, thank you for my friends and family for being here, and all of you. Good morning. I want to start this presentation with a bit of a disclaimer, which is I don't plan to say anything new or revolutionary in the next 20 minutes. Instead, I hope what you hear sounds quite foundational to the Christian faith. What I'm saying this morning in a nutshell is that Christian churches should be following Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, and not people. If that sounds like an ill-advised goal for churches, then perhaps we need to have a different conversation. But I imagine all of you share the belief that God, not people, should lead Christian churches. Though what I say this morning may not be revolutionary, it will be radical in the fact that it advocates for following a radical teacher, preacher, miracle-working, sacrificial servant sent by God to live among humans, to die and be raised again for the salvation of humanity. Nothing is simple or boring about following Jesus. In addition, I hope to present our need to follow Jesus in a new and needed way to help today's churches avoid some dangerous thinking and practices that spawn from it. Let's start by looking at a common image for church leadership: shepherding. If I were to list my personal shepherding experience, it would be quite short. It would include maybe a dozen times in barns with sheep, a good number of times watching the movie Babe, and a day at Nazareth Village, standing around with a bunch of goats and sheep pretending to be a first century shepherd. It was there on Cross Cultural in Israel that I first remember the longing, or maybe calling, to be a shepherd, not of sheep, but of people. I wanted to lead a congregation. I wanted them to depend on me, trust in me, follow me. So I bought this. It's an olive wood carving of a shepherd with a sheep. It's what I wanted to be. Some people may see it as Jesus, the good shepherd from John 10, but I also saw it as me caring for a person who was in need of a shepherd, like myself. Images hold great power in our lives. Pictures like these can trigger a wide range of emotional responses or trigger a series of thoughts. They can make you relaxed or anxious. They can change the way you behave for good or ill. I believe the image of church leader as shepherd is a harmful image for Christian churches and should be avoided. Some would contend that church leader as shepherd is a biblical image that should be utilized, and that is correct, but in a few minority cases. The Hebrew word for shepherd is ra'ah, and the Greek word is poimen. Together, they appear 156 times in the Bible, most of them in the Old Testament. As you can imagine, many refer to people who take care of sheep. the straightforward definition of the words. Abraham, Joseph, David, the shepherds near Bethlehem at Jesus' birth, and many other famous biblical characters cared for sheep as shepherds. Other instances of Ra'a and Poimen use shepherd as a metaphor or a simile about shepherds and their sheep, like when enemies massing against Israel are described as shepherds with their flock in Jeremiah 6:3, or like in Mark 6, when Jesus looks over a crowd of people and has sympathy on them because they are like sheep without a shepherd. Still other instances of Ra'a and Poimen refer to humans leading other humans, as it is used when church leaders are considered to be shepherds of a congregation. In these situations, humans are shepherds over other humans, not sheep. In 2 Samuel 7, God speaks through the prophet Nathan and refers to the leaders of Israel as shepherds. A passage in Ephesians 4 quite explicitly affirms church leader as shepherd. Paul uses poimen in a list of gifts God gives to the church to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. A majority of biblical images that refer to human shepherding other humans have strong negative connotations, though. Here are a few examples. Isaiah 56:11. In a prophecy about Israel's rulers, God says, "The dogs have a mighty appetite. They never have enough. The shepherds also have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, to their own gain, one and all." Jeremiah 10:21. Again, God speaks against the leaders of Israel, saying, "For the shepherds are stupid. They do not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, they have not prospered, and all their flock is scattered." Ezekiel 34 contains one of the longest passages with shepherding as an image in the Bible. In it, the leaders of Israel are accused of all sorts of selfish and neglectful behavior. Therefore, God concludes, "I am against the shepherds, and I will demand my sheep from their hand." All these demonstrate how human shepherds fail to lead other people well. In contrast, these negative human shepherding other humans passages have positive examples of God shepherding humans. For Isaiah 56:11 is Isaiah 40:11. Here, God will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. God is the shepherd caring for people. In Jeremiah 10:21, I have Jeremiah 31:10. After scattering Israel, God will now gather the people together and care for them as a shepherd cares for a flock. In the next part of Ezekiel 34, God says, "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will seek the lost, I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak." All these demonstrate how God successfully shepherds people when people fail to do so. You can think also of Psalm 23 and John 10. This biblical realization is the crux of everything that changed my perception from shepherding as an image for church leadership. The person that wanted to buy this olive wood figure, as a reminder of my call to church leadership, learned that God is my shepherd and I am not one. Instead, I am a sheep compared to God. And if I am to be a sheep, then I will not follow other church leaders as if they are my shepherd. Instead, I will follow Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Besides barely being biblical, another huge problem with church leadership as shepherd image is the distorted power dynamics. A literal shepherd is superior to sheep in almost every conceivable way, just not in wool production. Humans are far more intelligent than sheep. They can plan a move to better pastures or to water. They can avoid and protect sheep from predators. They can aid in birthing and nurture wounds or illness. Sheep have a very limited ability to do these things for themselves and depend on their shepherd greatly. They are extremely powerless when compared to their shepherd. Especially in harsh terrains and climates like most of the Middle East, a sheep's existence depended on a more intelligent, more powerful shepherd. A power gap of this magnitude should not be maintained between humans. Let's look at power for a bit. John Gaventa, the director of Coedi Institute, International Institute, a leadership development institute, wrote about various forms of power. Power over, power to, and power with. Shepherds most directly possess power over sheep, which is defined as the ability of the powerful to affect the actions and thoughts of the powerless. In most situations, this power is used constructively for sheep. In human relationships, though, it is rarely beneficial. It inhibits the powerless from using their God-given power to. Power to, which is to exercise agency and make something of the world. So therefore, a better arrangement for a congregational setting would be power with, as in the synergy that which can emerge through partnerships and collaboration with others. Without power with, Christians can easily and have often become complacent in their own role as participants in God's mission, because the professional, powerful shepherd is seen as the only person capable of joining God's work in the world. If Christians are seen as powerless sheep in a congregation when compared to the leading shepherd, then they lack the agency to participate in the church's activities, the activities of God. Another aspect of power Gaventa names is space. These three are closed space, invited space, and claimed space. Sheep don't own space. They use barns, pens, and pastures, but the shepherd owns, manages, and cares for these spaces. With strong power discrepancies, some spaces can become closed, meaning the powerful make decisions and provide services for the powerless. This is certainly true and needs to be true for shepherds and sheep, but it is not an advisable space for churches. Instead, Christian churches should seek to be claimed spaces where all people, even the powerless, own the space. Or at least churches should be invited spaces where the powerless and their voices are welcomed in the church. In claimed space, all people have ownership and the power to act and voice their thoughts. This builds up the church by building up each person. I want to pause for a moment to say two things that I am not saying. One, I'm not saying power is bad. It can be problematic and take harmful forms and create harmful spaces, but power as agency to make something of the world is certainly not inherently bad. It is necessary and good and something granted to all people in differing amounts. Power allows us to make something of the world. Power is all around us, and denying its existence simply makes it less visible, not remove it. An invisible power is actually more insidiously dangerous than other forms of power. Two, I'm also not saying that church leaders need to give up power. It's important to realize that power is not a zero-sum quantity. Zero-sum means when someone gains power, someone else must lose it. Like when money changes hands. If I give a friend money, I no longer have it, and my friend does. That's zero sum. Instead, power is a positive sum quantity, meaning when someone else is empowered, no power is lost. In a simple example, when a four-year-old is empowered to read, the teacher does not lose any power. Power is gained by the four-year-old in the ability to read without any power lost by the teacher. What does change is relative power. The power gap between the teacher and the student is decreased, so the teacher is relatively less powerful. That is the type of power change necessary to transform the church leader as shepherd image. Therefore, the church leader as shepherd image would be better as a leader sheep image. In this image, ultimate power is given to Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, as shepherd. All people are sheep. No person can claim to be the shepherd. That role is reserved for divinity, and no masters of divinity does not count. This parallels the power difference between sheep and shepherd, for God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. As weak and needy and simple-minded as sheep are compared to a shepherd, so too are we compared to our God. Church leaders are therefore sheep, though with some power and leadership, and therefore not simply leaders, but leader sheep. Church leader as sheep, instead of shepherd, is an improved image in two directions, one in relation to God, and a second in relation to the congregation. In relation to God, who is the shepherd, a leadership has less power than if they were considered a shepherd of the congregation. This does not undermine the leadership of the church leader, but simply views their power in relation to God's power, which is in every way far superior to that of any human power. With God as the head of the church, some dangers with the leader's vested interest are also avoided. Since most church leaders are wrongly considered shepherds are supported financially by their church, their occupational success and well-being are tied intimately to that church. This is not always problematic, but as we know, the maxim that power tends to have the ability to corrupt. In some cases, this can lead to a misuse of power to strengthen the church's budget instead of being ready to sacrifice all to follow Jesus. Instead, leadership depend on the flock for community and relationships, not their well-being. In relation to the congregation, a leadership also gives up some power. As sheep, they have the same human limitations and weaknesses as the rest of the flock, and they are just as dependent on the shepherd as the rest of the flock. They are no more capable of perfection or provision or forgiveness or grace or love than the rest of the flock. All of those come solely from the shepherd. This invites them into the same accountability as the rest of the flock instead of placing them on a pedestal of unrealistic expectations. As leadership, though, the church leader is more than just part of the flock. They are also leaders. They are markedly different than others in the congregation. While the whole flock is cared for by the shepherd, led to green pastures and beside still waters, leadership intentionally remain as close to the shepherd as possible, walking in step with the shepherd. These sheep are the first to hear the shepherd's voice, the quickest to follow in his footsteps, the ones keenest when a change must occur, not because they have an innate ability to know such things better than the rest of the flock, but because they study and observe and have a strong personal relationship with the shepherd and respond to his leading in full faith and obedience. In this way, though not leading the flock can affect follow their shepherd by following their leadership, some of whom are granted a bell to wear around their neck so that the other sheep have an even easier time following them. When the shepherd becomes difficult to see, the sheep can follow their leader sheep, not in faith that the leader sheep knows what is best for the flock, but in faith that the leader sheep is following the shepherd as best as they are able. One other note about leader sheep is important. As the word sheep can be both singular and plural, so too with leader sheep. A church may have one leader sheep or 20. A congregation could be entirely comprised of leader sheep, as each gleaned from the shepherd according to their gifts and share those gifts with the rest of the flock. This aspect of the leadership image empowers the whole congregation to be just as involved in the shepherd's leading as the established leaders. This model stays true to the biblical image of shepherding while not misconstruing the power dynamics between sheep and shepherd. It removes the unrealistic expectations often placed on church leaders and empowers the rest of the congregation to partake in the mission of God for the church. It puts Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, at the rightful place as sole guide, caretaker, and provider for the church. I believe leadership is a helpful and accurate image for church leadership, and one that avoids many dangers associated with church as shepherd, church leader as shepherd image. Thank you.